All right, he's James Adams. I'm Dan Klassen. This is the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast, episode 87, the week 11 Fantastics Fantasy Primer. We welcome you back in here. Definitely want to keep up with the podcast. Subscribe wherever you listen. You can catch us Saturday mornings, SiriusXM Fantasy, and all the time at insiderfootball.com, where you got the tools to win all season. And as we dive right back into it here, James, week 10 in the books, starting to get into that stretch run of the fantasy regular season. I know trade deadlines are starting to come up in some leagues, and the main event leagues and Scott Fishbowls and leagues like that. I mean, this is the last week of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Stakes are getting higher, and obviously now is the time not to panic. As we get into the trade deadline, you know, I know we'll jump into some takeaways and some different things from last week, but just any general strategies. I know redraft leagues is obviously a little different than some dynasty formats and keeper things. But, if you're a team on the looking to add some things to your profile here, I mean, what are the type of just general strategies would you advise?
Well, I think you have to analyze what your team is, right? It's all about self-scouting right now, because are you a team who needs to make a trade to finish strong, to get into the postseason? Are you a team with a ticket to the postseason who is trying to get your pieces in line for week 14, 15, 16, whatever week it is, whether you already think you have a bye locked up and you're going all the way to week 16, maybe is what you're already putting your eyeballs on. Know who you are, because you might find a trade partner for somebody that really wants a piece that you're like, yeah, but come week 16, when you expect to still be around competing for the money, you might not want this piece, but they might be a helpful piece to get another team over the hump into the postseason. So know who you are, know what you're looking for, because you might have value, right? One man's treasure is another man's trash, et cetera, vice versa. Know what you are, because look, we talked about it on the show last Saturday with bye weeks still ahead for certain teams, players who may miss a week or two via injury. Like, that's really hurtful to a team that's trying to make a push run, a stretch run. For a team who feels like they've already made it past the stretch run and just waiting around, that's not such a big deal to take on or overcome.
Hashtag truth right there, brother. James Adams dishing out the words of wisdom, and I definitely give a verbal repost on that. But I will also just throw out the claim. I mean, especially in redraft leagues. I mean, in dynasty leagues or, you know, the keeper leagues and, leagues where we have draft picks and stuff. I mean, that's one thing. But in these redraft leagues, if you're out of it, don't be making no bush league trades, because I'm against trade vetoes. But as commissioners, like in redraft leagues where there is no futuristic value, you can't allow just a team that's out of it to like ruin the league by being bitter. Don't be that dude or dudette or whatever you are. Because especially in redraft leagues, that really irritates me. And every year, somewhere in some league, I see something and I'm like, really? You know, this is sort of bad sportsmanship in my eyes. So,
amen.
I get a little fired up in that, man. Don't be a sore loser. What you need to be is show a little damn pride and get a win or two down the stretch and spoil some people's stuff. Talk some smack about ruining it. You know, make the most of the opportunity in those situations. But I think you hit the strategies, players to target. I know that, bye weeks and such, but definitely a few that I've put on a list, as I get ready for some of my radio segments this week, and this certainly be a topic. One's Ramondre Stevenson, James. I know he's on a bye this week, and that's actually why I think you might get him on a bit of a value. I know he had a back injury. Tests have come back clean here. The Patriots are in disarray, but through all of it, he scored 13 points in week 10. His role was strong. He got a season-high 25 opportunities, snaps, passing game usage, rush share increase for the third straight week. All signs, I think this is a guy who was high end on the season, coming in the season. I think he's just sort of getting in his fold right now. Another guy, James Conner. You want to talk about another running back I really like? Wasn't all that great last week either. Just 7.3 points, but he's got a substantial role in this offense. He played 63% of the snaps, 84% of the team's carries. He's getting 17.4 opportunities per game. You got Kyler Murray back this week, especially. I mean, the Texans' number 31 run defense that on the season has given up some big games. So getting before the big game, those are two running backs I think that you can get a little bit cheaper that are realistic acquisitions. And then a receiver. I mean, Cooper Kupp's the name that's screaming it for me. The dude hasn't broken 7 points in a game in a calendar month here. And, I mean, the quarterback woes with Brett Rypien and Stafford's been dinged. we don't know enough right now, but Stafford, you know, there's hope that he's back this week. And when Stafford's healthy, it works. Cooper Kupp averages 9.3 targets, 18.2 in three healthy games with Stafford. And so, James, those are some difference makers that I do think are sort of buy low guys. It's something beyond just the, looking at the schedule and the bye weeks and stuff that are left.
And that's always something you should be looking at. What other circumstances? We talked about that a little bit, like with a TJ Hockenson, a Justin Jefferson, because they don't have Kirk Cousins anymore. Now, you know, maybe we get to the fact that Josh Dobbs is a freaking superhero and it doesn't matter anymore, but there are other quarterback, you know, situations, i.e. Garrett Wilson, whose value not the same as it was preseason because Zach Wilson is there, not Aaron Rodgers. Just a lot of other things to look at. And I'm with you with those two running backs because certainly DeMario Douglas not terrifying me as far as Ramondre's workload.
The thing is, everybody wants to go out and trade for CD Lamb, but who's coming off CD Lamb, right?
I mean, I did a few weeks ago, but I got A.J. Brown back.
Well, whatever.
You know what I mean? So you're
going
to
get the point. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Everybody's looking at the shiny diamond that, you know, you're going to pay a premium for. But fantasy has always been the game of value. Why is the trade deadline any different? Find guys that haven't quite hit what you think they can, but you think they still can. Mm-hmm. And I just named three of them. I don't want to spend too much time looking backwards. So we're going to do each just one good, one good surprise, one bad surprise from the week. Dude, I got to start with the bad and the good all in the game I was at with our beloved Bengals, because the good surprise was really, it wasn't that much of a surprise that metrics have been there, but dude, seeing it with my own eyeballs, like, you know, and James, you know, cause when you're at a game, you're up in it and stuff, you look at it a little differently, but watching CJ Stroud avoid the pressure, move around, throw deep the ball down. Like, I'm all in on him being legit right now. And this season he's putting, I mean, it's record performing. I mean, he set a record 2 weeks ago. He continued it here. So yeah, it is a buzzkill city as a Bengal fan, having that loss hung up on the board there for sure. But I got to tell you, from just a fantasy analyst standpoint, holy cow, what a treat it was to put my eyeballs on CJ Stroud in action.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of my good surprises, or he could have been as well, because I benched him because I thought the Bengals defense would have played better. I played Will Levis in a matchup I won. Ooh. God bless.
I did list CJ Stroud in my stud quarterback spot on my Get Sports Info weekly blog post. So, I mean, I was expecting him in my top six last week. So it wasn't a huge surprise. For me, it was just like, okay, he's even better than I thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that.
And the other part of that is I realized how valuable Sam Hubbard is to the Bengals. I don't think he's as valued as he should be, but I mean, Hendrickson, as great as he is, I mean, they moved away from it to where if Hubbard was there, I don't think he would have had quite the game he did. I certainly don't know about the Bengals. And then, dude, in terms of the bad surprise, I mean, we got to talk about the game last night and the Buffalo Bills. Today, firing Ken Dorsey. Another terrible performance by Josh Allen. Stephon Diggs, you know, his brother's tweeting after the game, he's got to get out of there. So some more social media drama after he put up his disappointment. James Cooks, the only thing that looked good, and hell, he got benched for half the game because he fumbled. And then he fumbled again and down the stretch and bounced right into his hands.
What a lucky bounce.
Dude, the Buffalo Bills are the biggest bust as an entirety of a team without the significance of a major injury that I can remember in recent fantasy. I mean, there are instances where a quarterback goes down and it all goes down the tube. I get Allen's had a minor shoulder injury. He hasn't missed any snaps.
Minor.
He hasn't missed time. So I don't account for it. They've really missed nobody. I mean, the defense has, but that should only be helping the offense. I'm only talking fantasy production right now.
It should help. You're exactly right. It should help. I can't argue with you. I mean, the Bills have certainly been a big letdown, and they've been the NFL's darling for a couple years. And you know, maybe it's just not quite going to be there. And unfortunately for their fan base, well, that's a lot of tables.
I mean, in fantasy right now, I mean, you got to roll with everything pretty much of Allen and Diggs. I mean, you paid too much, so there's no options there. Cook, while I believe in the talent, I mean, he still just can't get past, like, you know, risky RB2 with the low floor. I mean, the ceiling's high. And Gabe Davis, I mean, good Lord. And best ball is the only place you want him on a roster. Dalton Kincaid, outside of Josh Allen right now, is probably the best and most plentiful player at his position and what he can do. I mean, Stephon Diggs can have those big games for sure. I mean, I'm not minimizing his performance, but I mean, those those are the guys right now, James. And so anyway, let's get to your good and bad surprise so we can get to some of these injuries.
My good surprise, if you want to lump it all into one thing, how about it? It's one of those games. You're talking about disappointment with the Bills. A game that fulfilled expectations for almost every player that you turn to the well. The Lions, the Chargers. This has been a season where the under has been hitting at a big rate. We haven't been getting the performances we were expecting. 41-38, the Lions over the Chargers. Jared Goff throws for two touchdowns. The Lions run for another three. Amon-Ra St. Brown catches one of those touchdowns. I mean, outside of Sam Laporta only having four catches for 40 yards, everything you wanted from the Lions came to fruition. And then Herbert, he goes nuts, four passing touchdowns. Austin Eckler wasn't great, but he still got you his rushing touchdown. By the way, both QBs over 300 yards. Keenan Allen, I mean, single-handedly got me high score in two different formats this week.
It was nice.
One of which pays, right? Quentin Johnston got into the end zone in a desperation play. He was in a lineup for me because of injuries and buys. So, I mean, the biggest good surprise has to be that game and how fruitful it was from every single fantasy aspect you were looking for. There wasn't a player that let you down outside of a really fringy player anyway.
Yeah, I like that one. That's on the good side.
Bad side, I got to go. I mean, there's several quarterbacks, I think, that are continuing to let us down. But the Cardinals have been a very bad defense all year. And I thought, and I don't know if I'm blaming this on the quarterbacks and plural because both played for Atlanta, or whether it was the fact that Arthur Smith said, hey, I know people have been just lighting up the Cardinals on, you know, through their passing game. Let's finally go to Bijan for 20-plus carries. The Falcons threw for under 100 yards. Like, there were a couple other really dismal quarterback performances this week, but I was, like, excited about Heinicke and them getting a little bit more aggressive. Danny threw 15 of the 21 passes, so he had way more than the volume. He had 55 passing yards. Like, this, I was excited about this offense before the season. Drake London, Kyle Pitts. I didn't even realize what a player Jonnu Smith was going to be. Bijan Robinson. Boy, that's just, I mean, it's always been a bad disappointment almost weekly. But again, this week, when I thought with Heinicke under center, and I know he got hurt, there'd be some excitement. There was none.
That's Buzzkill City as well. All right, let's get into injuries and really get depressed. we'll start where we always do. Deshaun Watson. No, I'm just joking. Watson actually looked somewhat decent. I mean, what a big comeback there for the Browns. But as you would know, it just is a glimmer of hope comes up here for Watson and fantasy aspects. He's also leaving the game hurt in a boot with an ankle. We'll see what happens here. If it's not him, it's PJ Walker, and it's another brutal AFC North showdown for Cleveland this week. We'll get to that matchup versus Pittsburgh. We'll keep our eyes on that. But James, Justin Fields, this is one, I mean, goodness, we're hoping he'd get back next week with this thumb issue, but they did play on Thursday night, so it didn't quite work out. Bajent got one more start, and now to start the week, I mean, we're not getting really much more clarity now. As we come here on Tuesday night, they've got the practice. It'll be a situation to monitor, but it's far from a sure thing Fields is back. And I mean, Fields himself could be a nice spark plug for some fantasy teams down the stretch here. But for me, I mean, I got a lot of shares of DJ Moore, and I want him to get back with Justin Fields throwing him the football.
Heck, Cole Kmet, I guess, has been good, but I don't know what I want with Fields, and I don't know what the Bears want.
I think these running backs also benefit with Fields there because
I think Foreman gets way fewer touches, right? Because I was trying to figure out why.
But they're going to get less stack in the box because what Fields brings and makes the defense defend, just his run alone could help open up some holes, and that's what they need for all three of them. We might not get clarity on the cluttered backfield now that they're all healthy. But, dude, I still believe if Fields comes back healthy, that this offense can offer a lot of fantasy upside.
I'm interested to see it. I don't know if the Bears want it because I honestly don't believe that
they're
looking
to win. Well,
they
already have the Panthers' number one pick. And so, you know, I mean,
it doesn't hurt to
have two top five Fields plays well, to be clear, he's still under contract. They could actually trade the guy.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So it is a benefit for him to come back and have a strong showing here.
I get that. I certainly get that part.
But I don't care about any of that, dude. I just need DJ Moore in like three leagues and the two best balls where I have the most money riding. I'm doing good in. He's on all these lineups. So.
Well, I hear you. I wish you the best.
Yes. Baker Mayfield, another guy's been doing well. Matchup schedule's going to get tougher. He looked pretty good. It was a pretty low-scoring game. him and Evans had some nice hookups for his fantasy day. Wasn't bad, but he leaves it with the thumb injury. We'll watch that situation too. In Minnesota, we're watching the concussion. Alexander Mattison and concussion protocol. We know Akers out for the season with another Achilles injury. Ty Chandler, we'll talk about him in the waiver wire, but a guy that's intriguing quite a bit. But James, I really just want to get your take in general on the passing game. Joshua Dobbs now, two games in a row, breathing some life into this offense.
I mean, you know, I'm ecstatic about the volume that Hockenson had last week with all the shares I have. And I mean, even Addison being a good part of the offense. Joshua Dobbs, dude, I mean, you can't say enough about the story. We know that it takes strong mental aptitude to play quarterback. The guy's won two games. I mean, it's a stat I heard earlier, not my own doing, but it's easy to deduce. He's won two games. He hasn't even been there 2 weeks. Like, that is just amazing, impressive. So what is my thought about the passing game going forward? I have zero reservation with a Hockenson, with a Jefferson, with an Addison, plugging him in and just playing him as if Kirk Cousins was under center. The way Dobbs is playing now, that might change, right? We might hit some roadblocks, but right now I don't see any reason to feel less confident given the fact that there are quarterback woes all over the league that have other receiving options kind of struggling. This is one where I feel like it's still okay.
Yeah, you mentioned Jefferson. He could return this week. They play on Sunday night versus Denver. We'll track that throughout the week for you and be talking about it this weekend for sure. T. Higgins missed last week's game with the hamstring injury of his own. With Cincinnati playing on Thursday, the expectation is right now he won't play again this week, which is unfortunate. We did see Trent Irwin involved. It's still risky using him. Tyler Boyd, I know he had the big drop and everything. I still think he becomes relative if Higgins is out for sure. And obviously Chase with his back injury. The target shares were down, but he still yielded a big day. So you're starting him as always in season long. And Nico Collins, calf injury. Will he come back? And now that he's back, you got Noah Brown. You got Robert Woods healthy again. You got Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. I mean, are there enough mouths to feed? It might be pretty up and down consistency with plugging those Texans receivers in there, even if this passing game continues to produce. But James, let's go. Go ahead, brother.
Sounds great for my CJ Stroud shares.
Yeah, not bad on CJ Stroud's side. And there's going to be big weeks there, but, you know, just figuring out where it could come from could get a little dicey. And, you know, we can't expect 4 or 5 touchdowns every week. So there's not going to be that much to go around to keep everybody's this productive.
Sure.
So anyway, let's hit the waiver wire. We've already touched on a couple names that are hot names as we get there. And James, we'll start with you. I mean, who's the top waiver wire guy on your list this week?
I mean, it totally has to depend on what the situation is. I'm in so many deep leagues that for me, I mean, I don't know. I guess I might be looking at Ty Chandler. I don't know that there's a whole lot I'm deep diving into because I keep going down that running back well. I think when we really hit the waiver wire, Dan, I think the important things to look at are, one, that we don't have very much talent on the waiver wire this week. We had a lot last week. I'm sorry, not the waiver wire, the bye week. Not a ton of bye week talent this week. Well, no buys next week.
Let's just talk through some running backs then. All right, so Ty Chandler, we're hoping that he's available. We have Rico Dowdle, another one out here that was getting a lot of buzz with the Cowboys. You know, Tony Pollard's been struggling. We saw a pretty decent game there, mop up versus the Giants. Those two guys are out there. Which of those two you like better, James?
Dowdle probably has the upside because if Chandler was worth a whole lot, I don't know that Akers ever comes to town.
Yeah.
But they're both like immediate. If you need immediate return value, it's probably Chandler. If you're looking for the lottery ticket for later in the season, it's Dowdle.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, if Keaton Mitchell or Devin Singletary or some of these guys that, you know, we don't expect to be available, they would both trump them. But you're looking at other guys that just sort of coming on the scene. They got to top the list. I mean, Dante Foreman, some people may have dropped him a little prematurely again. Ezekiel Elliott is a name out there that I know it hasn't been pretty, but if you look at his numbers, it's been steady. So he's in the flex range almost on a weekly basis. So in deeper leagues, he's certainly worth a bench piece, if nothing else, just to have a high floor, you know, backup. And Zach Charbonnet, here's a guy, James, that I might like him better than any back we mentioned if you're just looking for a roster stash. Because if you don't need it for your lineup and you're just, you know, hoping for a little, you know, home run off the bench, this is a guy that, I mean, if Kenneth Walker goes down, this guy could be a top 15 running back, and he already offers some flex appeal.
And Walker was last year because Penny went down.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this straight out when you say that about Charbonnet, there isn't a league I drafted him that I do not still have him on that same roster. Haven't cut him in any league because I think
the only league I cut him in was a 10 teamer. And dude, I mean,
if you see
some of these running backs available, I mean, it was at the time it seemed plausible. So
that's fair. No, I think I don't think I'm in a 10 teamer, but yeah, I play in so many deep leagues, but yes, there are certainly shallower leagues where I would have, but yeah, I've been holding strong because
Antonio Gibson, another little sleeper out there that in shallower leagues could be available. I'd like him probably over Zeke Elliott. I'd probably take Gibson over the Chandler Dowdle as well. But it is pretty volatile.
And it was really interesting, that workload. It was two running backs that led that team in reception yards last week.
At receiver, I mean, I saw it. I'm talking about that game, you know, as there. I mean, damn, I'm looking at Noah Brown. I'm like, damn, he looks so big. He looks so good. I mean, I do caution with the stuff over there. But it really, you got him. I think you got Brandon Cooks coming off that big game. And we told all those people last week on Sirius, sick Cooks.
I still don't think that was wrong.
I know. DeMario Douglas has continued to be solid out there. You know, if you're looking at just those three, James, rank them in order: Cooks, Douglas, Brown.
I mean, gosh, I have cut Cooks in some leagues. I guess if I'm looking for a weekly floor, it's probably Douglas. If you're especially in a PPR league, but if I'm,
I don't expect Dallas to continue to just light it up at the level they are. I'm not saying they're not good, but like, I don't know if there's enough to support like Cooks having a lot of big days is all I'm saying. CeeDee Lamb is the guy.
He is the guy. You're absolutely right. And that's where I'm saying Douglas, I think, is going to give you a better floor throughout the year.
And PPR, I'd really probably the guy. It's Douglas.
And Noah Brown, I mean, you mentioned all the mouths to feed. Why has Noah Brown shown this in his career here and there, but it's not consistent? Look, he did it 2 weeks in a row, and maybe he is about to finish off this year with consistent.
He's only the third player in franchise history to have back-to-back 150-yard games, so there's something to that.
Surely.
Going a little deeper down, I definitely think some names are still there. I know Romeo Doubs is a name we talk about a lot on this stuff. But James, one name I know you've talked quite a bit about in recent weeks, and I'm anxious to get your latest take on rookie Quentin Johnson.
I mean, he came through a little bit, and after the massive day by Keenan Allen, he was pretty much on that second tier that Keenan Allen was alone in the first tier. He was on the second tier of production. It was still only four catches. He did get a touchdown in this massive game. I mean, I think you continue to look at him with the upside because that offense is going to put up, we think, points, right? If we like Herbert so much, somebody besides Allen eventually has to be in the mix. And I think Johnston, they're just waiting for him to take the next step. And I think it could happen, but I don't know that I can't guarantee it's going to.
Yeah, Jaden Reed, another big day there. I mean, that Packers, it's really hard to figure out what it is. Christian Watson, in my opinion, is the most talented one on paper, but he's the least valuable of the three right now in fantasy.
I agree.
So I wouldn't want to touch it. If you will, in deeper leagues, I mean, I mentioned the Trent Irwin dart, which is really desperate. I almost got that desperate in my 16-team league last week. I ended up benching him for Logan Thomas, which wasn't terrible. It was only like 2 points different.
I played him in an FFPC.
But, dude, you could go back to the well there, or you could even look at Jalen Guyton, especially, if the Chargers, you think they're going to keep it going. I like him this week at Lambeau to at least put some points on the board. I don't know about laying 3.5 with the Chargers on the road versus anybody, though. So I'm a little reluctant on that. We'll get into that matchup. Tight end wise, looking at the tight end position, I mean, yes, Trey McBride, he should already be rostered. If he's not, I mean, he's the top waiver wire out of all these guys I think we talked about here today.
Easily.
But I don't expect him to be available. So we're digging a little deeper at tight end. And 2-point Tyler, that is Tyler Conklin, James, hasn't scored a touchdown all season, but now 13 catches, 136 yards over his last two. And I mean, really, after Garrett Wilson, he's like number two target in this New York offense right now for Zach Wilson.
Yes, he is. 100% he is. And the, I wonder how good he could have been with Rodgers. Maybe he's better with Zach Wilson because Zach Wilson's playing dump off with him, but he's a player I've rostered with the Mark Andrews bye week. I mean,
he's basically a fringe top 15 tight end every week in PPR right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's really nothing else I got at tight end. I mean, we can keep stroking Michael Mayer and Luke Musgrave, the rookies that might still be out there in shallower leagues. But I mean, dude, there's nothing I got. What I about agree. Quarterback, James? Run us through the position as you see it.
I mean, look, if a guy like Sam Howell, some of these guys that we've been talking about are available in more shallow leagues, that's obviously where you're headed. I mean, again, with a lot of the bye weeks behind us, it is time to focus on making sure you have a stretch run play. So in a super flex, Derek Carr banged up, you know, it's, you should probably have Winston. I don't think you should have every quarterback's backup quarterback in super flex leagues, but a guy like Carr, Winston's good enough to be a plug and play player, as we saw with his two touchdowns. So whether it's Mariota backing up Hurts or some of these other better name backup players, Gardner Minshew types, it may be time to go to them. Look, it's the same kind of concept here between a Stroud, a Hal, and these more shallow leagues.
Yeah, streamer defense. I mean, the formula is getting a little too easy. Basically, whoever's playing the Giants, their top priority. This week, mm-hmm. it's the Commanders. If Fields is out again, I'm attacking the Bears, so the Lions get interesting. And then the only other thing I might have against the Raiders on the road coming out of the bye week, the Dolphins probably sitting out on a lot of waiver wires too.
Yeah, and to that point, the Lions are a team that I'm kind of targeting to have for the stretch run as a defense.
So there you have it. All right, let's get into the matchups, take our first trip around week number 11 and get you up to date on our early expectations of these contests. And James thinks we'll kick off on Thursday night, a huge game in the AFC North, especially for our beloved Bengals, who with that loss fall to 5-4 to the Texans. And now pretty much their only hopes at the division remain. They're in a must win here. I don't know if I'm prepared to say it's a must win for their AFC playoff hopes, but it's certainly going to put them in a deeper hole than what they hope to be. A lot riding on the line. Meanwhile, Baltimore can knock them out here. Both teams dealing with some injuries. From a fantasy perspective, Baltimore, and if we think that they'll be without Hubbard and Hendrickson, which both are still up in the air as we talk here on Tuesday night, I mean, we know what Baltimore wants to do against every team, and especially against the Bengals. They want to run the football.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, I guess it's – first of all, you love Lamar. You love Gus. Do we get any deeper?
Do we love Lamar? I mean, Lamar hasn't been a top 15 quarterback in over a month.
How'd he look against the Bengals in week two? Against this defense already, the last time on the road. He looked really
good. It's all fair. I mean, I don't think Lamar in any matchup at this point would I say is an automatic lock like you just made him out to be. So you're just saying it's just historically against the Bengals, you're rolling with that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And what he did this year against them and the fact that I think the Bengals defense doesn't look very good right now.
Fair enough. Run us around the rest of the Ravens and your fantasy outlook here for week 11.
You know, I don't know that you want to play any of the receivers outside of Flowers, but you can take your chances with them. Beckham would be the guy you take a peek at, of course, and he's had some good games against the Bengals. Like I said, you like Lamar. You like Mark Andrews. Zay Flowers is in. I think it's what you do at the running back position. I think it's Gus. Are you playing in one of the others? That's going to be at your own. I'm still not ready to go to Keaton on just a you got to play him because he scored again last week.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with any of your concerns on defense, but with the Bengals season on the line, I'm expecting Joe Cool to be Joe Guy. I know that it's going to be a tough environment and they're going to be without T. Higgins, but I'm not betting against Burrow. So in season long, don't get cute and even think about sitting him. Mm-hmm. And specifically, if we're going to look at history and matchups, I mean, the dude could barely walk earlier in the season, and it wasn't for his pick at the end of the game. So I'm not even going to look at that matchup. Last year, they actually shut him down. But the year before that, I mean, he had threw seven touchdowns, and two of the four biggest games in franchise history came against the Ravens. So the matchup could go a lot of ways. Burrow's my dude. I'll roll with him in the big games. Joe Mixon, obviously, volume alone is going to keep him in there. Chase, as I said, I mean, the back injury is a concern, but you're going to play Boyd. You're going to play Irwin if you're healthy, and that's really all to talk about. Let's go to Sunday slate. Tennessee is at Jacksonville, and this one getting tougher to really figure out both these teams for me, James. Currently, we're looking at 6.5 favorite for the Jags, 39.5 on the total. Will Levis is a guy that he looked good that first game, but he's looking like the rookie with, you know, the growth is going to have to happen. So DeAndre Hopkins, this whole passing attack's really boom or bust. I think a lot of people have been burned 2 weeks in a row on Levis. I'm not going to rubber stamp him in this contest in many instances. I'm looking at my weekly rankings right now, and I've actually got both of these quarterbacks in this game outside my top 15. I think it's going to be more of a defensive battle. I'll play Derrick Henry. I'll play Hopkins as a wide receiver 3, and that's really about it on the Tennessee side. Can Trevor Lawrence start living up to some of his potential? I've got him QB 18 this week, so I'll throw that out there as for my take on what I expect.
Against Tennessee, he's still in the top 12 for me, but he's a back-end QB 1 at the very best. I'm still going to play Christian Kirk. I think you go right back to ETN, even though this is a tough defense to run against. You're supposed to throw against him. And Baker threw for with a bump hand finger. Did get two touchdowns, threw for over 230 last week. Not great, but still exploited Tennessee's D a little bit. So I turn to Christian Kirk. I mean, I think at this point I'm still turning to Calvin Ridley, but I don't feel great about it. He's been boom or bust. Ingram is what he is at tight end.
Moving on to the game we referenced earlier at Lambeau Field, where we now see the visiting Chargers, a 3-point favorite versus the Packers, 44.5 is a total in this contest. And for the hometown Packers, I mean, trying to find an identity is just paramount right now. And Aaron Jones still really hasn't had that breakout moment. I believe if they're going to have success, though, that's where it has to happen. And you look at this matchup, this is a team that can be ran on. I mean, last week was probably not a fair example going up against Montgomery and Gibbs, but I think the Packers have the opportunity here at home to run this football. They just can't get down in this game. So that, you know, not getting down early is going to be the key to that game plan. It makes it all a little risky. I do think Jordan Love's in play as a top 20 quarterback, though. I mean, this total has actually shot up 2.5 points since it opened. So I do think there is going to be some scoring in super flex leagues. You can consider him. Again, the receivers, I'm staying away from Luke Musgrave's fringe top 15. Aaron Jones could be top 10 running back, though, James. On the Chargers side, I mean, really, it's, you know who you like. It's like what sleepers could emerge.
Yeah, it's the three guys, right? Keenan, Eckler, and Herbert. And then from there, we did see Johnston score. Like, if you're in a touchdown-only league, Parham's always in play because of his big size around the goal line. But, I mean, Everett is a player I've cut in, like, regular PPR leagues for tight end at this point. So, I mean, the sleeper, my answer is going to be Johnston because he's the first-round pick, and this is his rookie year. And, I mean, we're still in that window where if he breaks out by the end of the season, we go, ah, yeah, we all knew this was coming.
Yeah. The Giants, they're playing the Commanders. We know we love the Commanders, D. We really love all the Commanders here. We love Sam Howell. I mean, he's QB3 on the season right now, dude. I know he hasn't had a bye, so that's a little misleading. But, I mean, he's got the yards. He's got it all. And they like to pass the football. Logan Thomas, to me, is a top 12 tight end, given the position. He's got a high floor, and that's what I like there. McLaurin is the study. As after that, it's dicey. I got burned on the Jahan Dotson reception prop last week because guess what? Curtis Samuel was back. Neither of them were worth much because they were canceling each other out. And then De'Ami Brown's getting touchdowns all of a sudden. Antonio Gibson's getting more involved. So roll the dice. Take your chances, kids. The Commanders are going to put some points on the board, but it's hard to figure out where it goes. So the only two really trusted pieces are Howe and McLaurin. I'll add Logan Thomas into it just because tight end is what it is. And then Brian Robinson Jr. I mean, like it or not, I mean, dude is always going to be in my top 20 at running back. On the Giants side, Saquon Barkley's it. We'll keep that message going until they have any resemblance of an offense. And in Superflex, it is a spot where I'm considering not starting two quarterbacks, going with the running back or receiver over Tommy DeVito. So there is the breakdown of that. James, I'll let you run through the entirety of the Raiders and Dolphins, where the line has went from 10 to 12 in favor of Miami, and the total down from 48 where it opened to 46.5.
Really interesting, man. The Raiders defense is showing real signs of life, but the Dolphins coming off the bye, you figure this is a game where they do get that offense going. So you best believe I'm playing Tua, I'm playing Waddle, I'm playing Tyreek as you would. Mostert, I think you're still playing him, but if Achan is activated as I expect him to be, I'm playing him too, which means kind of like we said about some of these other high-powered offenses earlier in the year, there is room for disappointment when you're playing all those players, unless the Dolphins go and hang 50-plus again like they have once in earlier in the year. From the Raiders side of the ball, I don't know that I'm playing Aiden O'Connell in Superflex. I mean, I would because I'm an idiot and I can't get over that stubborn belief that I have to. Play Devontae. You know, I guess you play Myers and you play Josh Jacobs. I mean, Mayer got his touchdown, but I'm still not ready to play him.
Yeah, I agree on that. The Cardinals are at the Texans, two teams that are coming off a pretty exciting week in each of their own right. -4 is the line here, which is a little fishy to me, given the Texans and the run they're on. The total went from 47 to 47.5, one of the higher totals of the week. And James, this will be one of our marquee matchups just to talk about a couple different teams this Saturday. But, you know, I'll start with the team I just got done watching here, the Texans. I mean, C.J. Stroud, I mean, until further notice, this guy looks like a top five quarterback pretty much every week. This matchup, you're not shying away from that. I absolutely love Devin Singletary as an RB2 as long as Damian Pierce is inactive. And the word is that, you know, a return this week still in question. Even if he's back, Singletary's in flex conversation. Mm-hmm. We already talked at length about these receivers. I mean, I really think they got a better group than we ever gave them credit for. Figuring out what it is, I would have to guess, especially with Collins still coming off of this injury, even if he returns, Tank Dell's the one I would trust the most. And then at tight end, Dalton Schultz, he's on the season, he's tight end 7. But over the last 5 weeks, is where, I mean, he's really the last 3 weeks, if you look at the game log here, is where it's each week is just starting to get better and better and more involved here. I like Dalton Schultz as, you know, a mid-range tight end 1, if not higher this week, James. And the Cardinals, let's, you know, hear what you thought. I mean, definitely it helps getting back James Conner and Kyler Murray.
Yeah, James Conner, RB2. I think you plug and play him. And then I think if you look Houston the last couple of weeks, their defense has given it up to the passing game. Burrow went over 300. Baker Mayfield had a magical game and a loss to them the week before. So Kyler Murray, I think if you're not certain at quarterback, if you don't have a player you've been relying and winning with all season long, I think he's in play right away. As quick as I don't believe I'm saying it. And maybe it's just this matchup. But he elevated McBride already. We saw that he did have the legs to score a rushing touchdown. I'm not going to put Kyler Murray in my top 8 or anything, but I think he's a top 15 QB. Hollywood Brown, sure. You can play him. And I think that's about where you're at. Connor McBride Brown.
Love it there. Let's go to the Bears-Lions. This one's in Detroit. The Lions a 9.5-point favorite here, and the Bears definitely hoping to get Justin Fields back. I think the whole analysis on their team will boil down to that. Right now it's up in the air, so not going to get too deep into it. We already hit on it earlier in the podcast here, but on the Lions side, I mean, Goff at home, this is a crush spot. You're rolling him and St. Brown and Laporte out. I mean, right now, the best backfield tandem in football resides in Detroit, dude. I mean, the punch of Gibbs and Montgomery is pretty phenomenal. So I know that, you know, I still don't think he was worth the second round pick, especially since it's taken a minute, but I'm coming around on it. I definitely got Gibbs in my top 5 right now for this week, so in PPR leagues. And I still think Montgomery is a top 15 play. So I think everything's supported here. I like the over in the game. I think the Lions could definitely cover it, especially if Fields is out. And it might be time to jump on these numbers before we get confirmation of that. But overall, I mean, this Lions team's very, very exciting. James, the Steelers and the Browns. We know what this matchup's usually about. A key battle here in the AFC North. Both teams just a game back of the Ravens, who, as we mentioned, play Thursday night versus Cincinnati. And if the Bengals can pull off an upset in Baltimore, the Steelers-Browns could be playing for a piece of first place in this game. So plenty on the line. The line's 4. The total's gone from 38 to 36.5. Your thoughts on the Steelers?
So I think with the Steelers, it's really interesting because we know the Browns are a really tough defense in all aspects, certainly really tough to run against, but the Steelers have flat out said, hey, we're a two-headed monster in the running game. It's Warren, it's Harris. I think they're both viable starting options every week. I don't love this matchup, but I'm starting either one in any lineup that I have both of them this week. When you go to the receiver position, I'm not trying to play Kenny Pickett if I don't have to. He's ahead of DeVito, but he's not exactly a ton ahead of him in your super flex rankings. I mean, what do you do at the receiver position? I thought we could trust Deontay Johnson. That was not the case last week. So I don't think you can trust either Johnson or Pickens. You can play them both though. And I think in a lot of instances, we will all be forced to turn to him in some places.
Yeah, and on the Cleveland side, we mentioned the Watson injury. We'll keep our eyes on that. I think after being down on him last week, I'm ready to put Ford back in the lineup. Hunt at flex play if you need it. Cooper is and should be a wide receiver, too, in your lineup on a weekly basis, and that's really about it here. Njoku, no thanks. I mean, it does nothing to excite me. And Elijah Moore, I mean, until he's got to play his way in the lineup. So I'm not cutting Elijah Moore off any regular-sized teams, but definitely not trusting him in the lineup anytime soon. Dallas and Carolina, another just inferior opponent here for the Cowboys as they, you know, after playing the Giants, they're now laying 10.5 on the road to Carolina, and who's looking like the biggest fools in football for taking Bryce Young over CJ Stroud is what everybody's saying out there on social now, James. But I don't know. 10.5 point dog at home. It's got to be a little embarrassing. Maybe they come out on defense and do something. I don't know. The total's gone from 41 to 42.5. We know we're starting the normal Cowboys. What about some of these extra pieces that have blown up of late?
Is Ferguson a normal Cowboy? I guess
I think Ferguson is a normal Cowboy.
Okay.
The dude's tight end 3 on the season, so we'll give it to him.
Okay. Gosh, I haven't refreshed. I didn't realize he was that high.
Well, actually, I got it queued for the last 5 weeks. Let me go back to the season here. He's tight end 9 on the season.
Okay. That's a regular starter. So he is a regular. You're okay. He's a regular Cowboy. I mean, dude, Brandon Cooks is an upside swing, and we don't need to do that right now. There's not a lot of talent on bye weeks this week. So Brandon Cooks is an upside swing. It looked great last week, but it had been infuriating before that. So, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, and the Panthers, I mean, Thielen's staying in my lineups this week. He's got a hot S because I got him in PPR. It didn't work out last Thursday night, but if they're going to be playing from behind, he's going to get targets, dude.
And he still had, what, 4, 5, 6 catches on Thursday night? I mean, it wasn't great, but it was okay.
Yeah, the yardage total didn't get to the prop. That's all I remember.
Fair enough.
I don't want to get into my receiver prop bets. Between Dalton Kincaid and Tank Dell, I missed by a total of 1 yard on two same game parlay props that cost me $10 bets I could have won over $150 on. And I missed on two of them, James, by a half a yard this week.
That speaks to me. I've been there.
I'm off track. Thielen was a much larger miss last week. Hopefully he bounces back. I've got him in the 2 season-long PPR leagues. I have him. I'm putting him in there because I think he's a top 20 PPR play. Outside of that, dude, I mean, Hubbard, I guess, is a boring flex. You're crossing your fingers. Bryce Young, I'm not even trusting him against this defense in Superflex this week. So unless you're just stuck on buys. So there you have that. Let's get to the Buccaneers and the Niners. And, you know, the Niners, as I said it, James, you know, I told you it was a bet of the week. The biggest units I've laid on a single bet all season was the -3 on San Francisco. It seemed like it made too much sense. This week, they're back to more where we expect. 11.5 point favorites after opening at 10 at home to the Bucs. The total's 41.5. I know you've been on the Bucs all season here. I like Baker. You know, as a guy in a great story this season, but this is not the week to play him, James. I will use Mike Evans and Godwin if necessary. Rashad White, as he has been all season, as I said in the preseason, even if you don't like the dude, the volume's going to make him relative. So all those guys are still startable, even though I like the 49ers in this one, just because I think those three are in there. But I'm not going to play Baker outside of Superflex. And even then, I'm not very optimistic. Do you think the Niners can really blow up here against this Bucs D that looked pretty good last week?
Yeah, I mean, look, you're going to obviously trust your McCaffrey or Ayuk, and we know Kittle, Debo, you hope you get what you get. I guess the real question is, after you get down through that rundown of guys, is like, where would you put Purdy versus Baker? Because Purdy did look very good for the first time in a little bit last week, but I might actually like Baker more as the garbage time play. So I think Purdy probably outside my top 12 this week, even though he's coming off a very nice game.
The Seahawks and the Rams in the NFC West tilt. It's been back and forth. Currently, the Seahawks a 1-point favorite. The total's at 46. I like Seattle. As you would expect, Geno Smith, I think he's back into, you know, fringe QB1, probably high-end QB2 range after a solid performance. DK Metcalf starting to look a little healthy. Tyler Lockett, my sleeper of the week last week, delivered. I don't like him as much this week, but he's still in wide receiver 3 play. And obviously, you're going to roll Kenneth Walker the second out there. Zach Charbonnet, unless there's an injury, I just can't endorse him this week unless you're desperate in a deeper league. And on the other side, we're waiting to see if Matthew Stafford, if he plays this week. Because if he does, then we like Nakua and we love Cooper Kupp. We talked about them. We're not looking at Tyler Higbee. I haven't talked about him in fantasy since like week 3. Daryl Henderson's still in my lineups until Kyren Williams gets back. I think also Royce Freeman. Desperation flex play, somebody to keep your eyes on in DFS perhaps, but you know, I do like the scoring in this one. I think it's the total's about right. I'm not going to bet the total, but I do think it gets to about 45-46 points, when that should be enough to be fantasy productive. James, you can run us around the horn in the Jets Bills matchup. What a thriller in the AFC East. The Bills a 7-point favorite, the total's at 40.
You know, this is one where you might think about it going under. You'd start Josh Allen, you start Diggs, as you said earlier, because you just simply will. And you'll start Kincaid as well at tight end. James Cook, I mean, I think you're starting him at RB2, and yet I don't feel great about any massive points from the Bills. All those guys are in. I wouldn't play Shakir. I wouldn't play Davis. And you don't expect a ton from Diggs either because the Jets defense good. I'm still playing Breece Hall every week. I'm more or less playing Garrett Wilson every week as well. I think that's it from the Jets offensively. As you mentioned, though, Tyler Conklin, for anyone without a stable piece there, he is in play.
No doubt about it. Let's get to those primetime games, the Broncos and the Vikings. The Broncos coming off that upset. They are 2-point favorites at home here. And definitely a game that should be pretty closely contested. 42.5 up to 43.5. And we talked about Josh Dobbs. If obviously we're, you know, liking him, I mean, dude's borderline back end QB one. And if Jefferson comes back, he gets locked in there. Addison's in play. I don't know how you can keep him out on a weekly basis right now. Ty Chandler, I'm interested in him, but he's not without risk. Denver's defense isn't too bad. I mean, James Cook had some big runs on Monday night, but this is a defense that has not just contained a struggling Josh Allen. They did the same thing to Mahomes before that. So, you know, let's not under, I mean, everybody's like all in on this Vikings bandwagon, and I am too, but at the end of the day, like, let's not, I mean, the Broncos are at home here, and that is a
they've responded since the 70 they led to Miami. They've responded.
So, I mean, I'm just giving the defense some props. So I'm tempering my expectations here. I mean, obviously Hockenson is up there with the, you know, every week. So, but don't get too cute with the Vikings, and, you know, don't expect too much, but, you know, just, you know, go with what you think, but don't overshoot it. On Denver's side, I mean, Cortland Sutton is pretty much a wide receiver too right now. Even if I keep thinking he's not, he keeps scoring touchdowns.
You sure he's not a one?
Yeah. Javonte Williams is an RB1 right now. You look at the touches over these last 3 weeks, he's getting more involved in the passing game. This is a great matchup for him. I've got him in my top 12 for the first time this season.
Love it.
And Russell Wilson, as ugly and as bad as it's been in this matchup, he also has worked his way in the back end of my top 12 this week, because I like, personally, as much as I just talked up the defense, I don't think it's going to be a big shootout or anything, but I do like it to go over the 43 points.
I like the floor of Russell's acute back end QB1, if not higher.
And by the way, for the third time in the four times I bet it this year, the over 1.5 passing touchdowns plus 180 on Russell Wilson last night.
Nice.
So, James, Eagles, Chiefs, it's the one we've been waiting for. The league gave both of them the bye week and then let them meet on Monday. So neither team's at a disadvantage. But dang, I mean, they really let them get ready for this matchup, didn't they? This is, in my opinion, right now, I mean, you could argue it a lot of ways, especially in the AFC. But right now, I mean, this is looks like another Super Bowl potential preview here. The Chiefs, a 3-point favorite, 45.5. I'll let you break down the visiting Eagles.
Oh, boy. I mean, I think I really like Devonta Smith. Obviously, A.J. Brown is in every week, as is Devonta Smith. I think I like him even more this week, even though the Chiefs' defense has been good. Without Dallas Goedert, I'm looking for that offense to funnel a little bit more in the passing game to those two. I'm not looking to play anyone else in the passing game. Obviously, you like Swift and you play Hurts. I guess we always threw Goddard in the mix. I guess I'm hopeful, and obviously I'm missing Goddard in some lineups, that the Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown workload is just – both increased a little bit from what Goddard would have seen.
Yeah, and on the Chiefs side, I mean, the offense knows it struggled. I actually was watching Mahomes last night in the Manning cast, and I was liking what he was saying. He was, you know, having a lot of accountability for himself was what I was really liking about it. And but this bye week, and just more about how what I think of Andy Reid, and don't kid yourself, he loves being matched up against the Eagles. I mean, Andy Reid's a hell of a coach. Today, what you want about the Chiefs? Andy Reid with a bye week, I'll bet on it every time. So I like the Chiefs to come out strong here. I think Mahomes lights it up. I'm not expecting 5 touchdowns or anything, but I'm going 300, James. I think Kelsey bounces back with a big day. I don't know. Pacheco will get his. I mean, who knows what will be sprinkled in the receiving to get the 3 touchdowns. I'm using Rashee Rice this week as a wide receiver 3.
Oh, my.
So I think all that's there, but I am expecting some fireworks in Kansas City. And the week off also probably really helping, hopefully, Jalen Hurts' knee a little bit. But this is going to be a fun one to watch. This will be one of those games you circle on the calendar when the season began, and I'm looking forward to it on Monday night.
I guess when you say the week off, like, I might have to take the rest of the week off for work after to get ready for Thanksgiving. After.
Oh, my gosh. And speaking of which, James, I'm glad you said that, because you got to start getting your Turkey Day guys together for our draft next Wednesday night. So we got some work to do there. We'll be talking about that. We'll break it down, get you ready for that. It's pretty soon our pie ranking episode. So much ahead here in these coming weeks. But be sure to subscribe to us wherever you listen. It's the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. You can follow him on X at JamesAdams94, me at Dan Claskins, us at Fantastics, and InsiderFootball.com. That's your place to get all the goodies. Until next time, for James Adams, I'm Dan Claskins. Have a great night.